Hey guys, it's me, Dave. Want to let you know that this episode of The Boogie Monster is sponsored by AdamandEve.com. You know the drill. Valentine's Day is come and gone, but let me tell you, loving is a year-round job. Go to AdamandEve.com for a limited time only. You're going to get 50% off just about any item. And when you select your one item at 50% off, you're going to receive 3 free adult DVDs. Good Lord, what could that be? Who knows? Plus, you're getting your free mystery gift. So 3 free adult DVDs and a free mystery gift on top of whatever accoutrements or tools or devices that you purchase. So, yeah, top it all off. They're going to throw in free shipping on your entire order. Go to AdamandEve.com. Use code BOOGIE at checkout. That's B-O-O-G-I-E in that order at AdamandEve.com. Use code BOOGIE, AdamandEve.com. Get in there and have some fun.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
I'll start now that we missed the entertaining part.
Of our morning. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kyle.
Look at us. 10:15.
Yeah.
Whew. Is it 10:17 in the a.m.?
Good Lord.
How are you? I'm perky.
Yeah.
Feeling it?
Are you a morning person?
No.
Yeah.
But I had such a stupid travel day yesterday that I was in bed by 10:30 last night.
Really?
And got plenty of sleep. So today I'm a morning person.
What was your travel day like?
Well, I finished my tour in Nashville, which we'll get to all the shout outs on that one. But then I was going to go see the band Jawbreaker.
Oh, okay.
Important band from my youth.
Uh-huh.
And they're back around playing shows. And I wasn't going to be able to see them in L.A., and I missed them when they played Riot Fest in Chicago. But I'm like, all right, they're playing in New York the night after. I'm in Nashville. I'm like, I'm doing it. Get that like you're an adult. Like, I'm going to go to New York just for one night.
Okay.
And I went there, hung out with my buddy Marco, saw Jawbreaker. They were great. And then I flew in at LaGuardia and got to my buddy's place and then had an early flight. Well, not early, but about, I think, 11 a.m. or something the next day. Got to LaGuardia at 10. My flight was boarding at 11.
Uh-huh.
And I got to LaGuardia at about 10.
Ooh. It's cutting it close.
Yeah, and that's when I found out I was flying out of JFK.
Oh, no.
Neither one of us are strangers to feeling real stupid.
Uh-huh.
But, man, that's a top five feeling.
Yeah.
When you go to the entirely wrong airport that you're supposed to be at. Because I was like, well, I flew into LaGuardia just naturally. Mm. I wasn't looking. I'm like, oh, they're all Delta flights. They're just like... Oh, you're already pre-checked in because that's where I got my miles. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, but back to LaGuardia. And then for some reason, I didn't realize. I thought Verizon was broken because I couldn't have. There was no data on my phone. Didn't think to check the data button. This is how stupid I was yesterday. Somehow I mysteriously turned off the data on my phone.
How do you do that?
I don't know. Like, you have to go into the settings. Well, shit. If there's buzzing right now, I apologize. Rachel said it's this green button on the front on the screen here, right there.
Uh-huh.
And if it's on, let me see. If I turn it off, then I'm fucked. Then there's no plan. I accidentally touched that button. I don't know how this shit works. And then, so I can't even, I'm trying to call Lyft, and then I can only use like the spotty Wi-Fi in the airport to get a Lyft. And then it would, as soon as I would walk outside to catch it, it would crap out, and I couldn't find the car, so I just... eat it and take a cab to JFK. Still made my flight.
Whoa, you made your flight.
Still made my flight. Made it from LaGuardia to JFK at about 20 minutes or something. And it was just a supremely dumb feeling. Especially where I'm at LaGuardia, like, no, I'm on this flight. It's at 11. He's like, we don't have that flight. I'm like, it's this. He's like, what flight? I'm like, look at the number. I'm like showing him my phone. Not being a dick, but having a little bit of like, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm showing it to you right here. And it just tries like, He's like, going through Minneapolis? I'm like, no, it's a direct flight. He's like, we don't fly direct to Los Angeles. He looks at my phone. He's like, you're flying out of JFK. And kudos to that guy for not calling me a fucking idiot to my face.
That is the best, though, when someone's being a little indignant.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you're 1,000% wrong.
And I wasn't trying to, like, I wasn't pushing it on, but it was, I was like, come on, buddy, man, just look a little harder on the computer. And I was hungover as shit because, you know, just drank a ton of beer at the concert the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and my buddy Marco were like, well, let's get, we got back to his place. Like, oh, that was great. We're full of beers. Let's order a pizza. And then we both wake up on the couch like, oh, shit, the pizza. He looks at his phone. He's like, ah, I accidentally ordered it to be delivered at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, man.
Like, just a couple of real morons. And so that's why I got back last night after all that.
Mm.
And just a flight, just 6 hours of some shitty kid kicking the back of my chair. But I was like, I've made the flight. I don't care. And so then went and saw Van Morrison last night.
Really?
Well, I'm really I'm really maturing over 3 days. So, Jawbreaker Monday, Van Morrison last night. And tonight we're going to the L.A. Philharmonic.
Ooh.
Having a real adult night out.
Wow.
Going to get wine drunk and see some woodwinds do their magic.
Where did you see Van Morrison?
At the Wiltern.
Okay. Was it good?
Yeah, good spot.
Is he still good? I mean, he's got to be, 75, 80?
It was both. Rachel was like, I think he's got to be in his 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks exactly like the saxophone player from the Muppets. From Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem. Which, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem,
mm-hmm.
one of the top five band names of all time.
Absolutely.
Regardless of the fact that it belongs to the Muppets.
Yeah.
One of the top five band names.
Yeah.
But the guy who wears just like the kind of private eye hat and sunglasses, that was Van Morrison. I think they maybe – and Van Morrison plays saxophone. Maybe they model him off Van Morrison.
Probably.
But that's – I couldn't – once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. And it was real boring.
Oh, that's funny.
Rachel's like, I want to go to this. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll go. I've been out of town. Let's go have like date night.
Mm-hmm.
We're both sitting there. All of a sudden, she just starts laughing. She's like, what have I done? Like, it was so boring.
Did y'all have good seats?
No, we're way up at the top. Although the Wiltern,
they're
all good seats.
Yeah.
It's a nice, we're in the balcony, but still it's all made. Uh-huh. Good sound, good seats. Go see a show there if you can.
That's awesome.
But it was and I was out of it anyway, just from being tired and traveling. So. Uh-huh. Anyway, that's why I'm perky this morning, because boy, did I sleep after that day and then listening to an hour and a half of fucking lullabies out of Van Morrison.
Speaking of going to the wrong airport, I might be able to one-up you on stupid airport behavior.
Really?
I was telling a story to a buddy the other day. This is about 3 years ago. I forgot where I was at. It might have been Minneapolis or somewhere up in the Midwest. And I got to the airport in plenty of time. I don't know. Hypothetically, my flight was at noon. I got there at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Through security by 10:30, over an hour before we board, sitting right at the gate, had an edible, listening to my earbuds, and just sat there. Didn't fall asleep. Just sat there high while they boarded the plane and the plane took off. And at about 12:15, I go, what the hell's going on with this? Holy shit, what? Just sat right there and watched them board the plane.
The whole time they're looking directly at you on the intercom.
Yeah.
David Stone.
Huh?
David Stone, last call for David Stone.
Nuh-uh.
When was this?
It's about 3 years ago. And was coming home from a little run. Just sat there and I was like, you fucking idiot.
Did you get to walk up to them?
Mm-hmm.
And then were like, you the guy sitting here the whole time?
Yep.
They saw you?
Well, they said, are you Dave Stone? Because I guess that was the only one only person that missed the flight. And I was like, yes. And then I think somebody was like, didn't I see you? And I was like, yeah. I just spaced out.
I've actually heard about that happening to a few people.
Yeah. Just sat there, and I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I was so prepared. All right, 12 o'clock, it's 10:45, sit here for an hour, and just
I think people think the getting to the airport and getting through security is the giant hurdle. And once you've done with that, like, oh, we're all free and clear now.
Yeah.
Because I've heard it from a few people. There was a... I remember some video of, like, Nato Green and W. Kamau Bell, and they had, like, a tour going on, and they were kind of documenting it and interviewing each other in the airport. And the video is, like... They made the video themselves. Like, right now, you can hear in the background the announcers, them calling our names to board the flight that we will miss because we were making this video.
Wow.
And it was just, I appreciated their humility because, you know, they're, you know, intelligent, you know, socio-political commentary in their comedies. Like, I like it, but then still being like, and we sat in the airport where our flight took off. I've had that where I'm sitting at, my problem is I'll sit at a bar. And then I'm always like, oh, it's delayed 15 minutes. That's what I got. That was the whole spawn of the United thing is because I kept delaying it, kept delaying it. And eventually I'm like, I got to leave and go make other plans. And then after I left the airport, they're like, oh, no, now it's on time. And it's leaving in 5 minutes. Like, you fucking idiots.
Jeez.
But I'll sit at the bar and be like, hey, like, you know, you're drunk and having fun. Like, hey, somebody watch my stuff. I got to see my plane's leaving.
Yeah. But. Yeah, this wasn't even that. I've done that. I've sat at the bar, you know, and almost missed a plane or whatever. But nope, just – and I wasn't sitting directly in front of the gate. It was like the one gate over. Oh, okay. But still, I could see it. I was like, all right. And the way I usually do it, I just sit there, especially if I'm in my earbuds. You know, it's like, well, as soon as the line starts to form, then I'll stagger over and figure out if I'm zone 2, 3, or 1, whatever. And watch the line form. Never dawned on me that, hey, that could be my flight.
I've been at where I've been so wiped out. I'm like, I've seen people like, what are you getting on this flight too? I'm like, if I'm asleep, will you wake me up? I remember there was one flight. There was this gal. She was like laying down on the seats, passed out. And everybody's like, oh, we know she's on this flight. They're trying to wake her up. And she wouldn't move. And it was at the point where people didn't want to keep touching her.
Yeah.
Because like,
I don't want to be involved in this investigation.
Yeah, this is like a harassment thing, but we know she's supposed to be on this flight. But everybody's like, she's not.
Or she dead?
Okay. But like, I don't want to shake her. I don't want to scare her. But, you know, people are always taking their muscle relaxers and shit to be on the flights. And if you don't time that stuff well, this fucking kid behind me could have used a muscle relaxer. Just
kicking the seat the whole time?
Yeah, just mommy's little princess. Can't do any wrong.
Really? Mom's okay with that?
Yeah, jeez. I was just... I mean, for as maligned as it is, the Bill Cosby bit about having like the kids on the plane. It's still classic.
Yeah.
Forget about the crimes. The bit was funny. But I just kept thinking about that. Like, and the kid was finally asleep, like right when the plane landed, the kid was fast asleep, and I was getting my bags, and I just wanted to just be like,
oops.
Wake up! Hey, we're here! Oh, boy! Wowee! Just kick her chair.
Oops, I dropped my backpack on your head.
Yeah. But it was, but yeah, 10, 12 days out, I don't know.
Yeah.
Lots of shout-outs to, got to the cryptic note I got in at Lansing at the loft that I think was from the management, but they left a bottle of a home distilled whiskey.
Ooh.
But they left it, it had like a bottle cap on it. So I couldn't just open it and have some and then travel.
Oh, it had like a
bottle, yeah, pop top.
Pop top.
So I gifted it.
Uh-huh.
But thank you for that. Whoever left that, they left a long, a cryptic note about the Mothman and how there was a different, there was a Michigan Mothman that didn't get love and was from that. But it was funny and I appreciated that. Our man from Louisville, Vegan Jerky, hooked me up in Louisville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John Stevenson, I think, is his name. Good dude.
I apologize to John for not being able to stop and hang out for a minute. It was like between shows. We just handed me off a box like it was drugs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's that good stuff.
Dude, he brought me a box, probably, no shit, 15, 18 bags of that jerky.
Yeah. So
every variety. It was awesome.
I got to spread that around the world, a little, spread that love a little bit.
How was Nashville?
Nashville's great, man.
Yeah. Did you eat anything cool?
No, man. I got there, did the show, left.
Oh, dude.
It's a real hitman. It was a real hitman job.
Yeah, just in and out.
I wasn't drinking much. I drank a little bit in Nashville. Brandon Jazz, guy who runs the show, good dude.
Mm-hmm.
My guy, he's my guy down there.
Yeah.
And shit, man, I wrote some other stuff down about who had brought other gifts, but I can't remember now.
Bloomington was good.
Yeah, it was just a good run.
Yeah.
Big thanks to everybody out there.
Cool, man.
The listeners.
That's
the
fun.
Fans of comedy in the middle. But yeah, it was a good time. And then I ended it with a good concert and a real stupid day.
Yeah.
And now I got about 36 hours here.
Yeah, dude. Just in town for a day. Yeah. Where are you going tomorrow?
Vancouver.
Except
you'll hear this post Vancouver.
That's cool, though, man.
What's going on with you, man?
Man, it's been cold. This is the...
really?
Yeah, late February.
I was in Michigan.
Well, for L.A., it's cold. Yeah.
You know, I was dodging black ice, but...
Down to 38 the other night.
Really?
Which...
That is fucked up, runner. I think one of the hummingbirds... That's it. One of the hummingbirds died then.
Yeah.
Rachel was saying they were being all maniacs the other day, and now there's like... Now they're getting along, because I think the bully maybe froze to death.
Ah.
Good riddance to that fucking guy, though.
Bully hummingbird.
I'm not... I was getting in trouble. I was trying to do a joke about how I'd eat cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't going well on the road.
Yeah.
In the Midwest. China. I'm like, I'd eat them. Anyway, I don't know why that had to do anything with hummingbirds.
Oh, it's
no
okay.
There's no meat on those things.
No.
You deep fry them to disappear.
But yeah, dude, it's cold. It's always mid to late February. It's the coldest time in L.A. And, you know.
But you got to.
Having to bundle up.
You got a warm body to shack up with, though.
Well, yeah, but not every night. So,
yeah.
still
letting her know you're a little bit feral.
We were just talking about that off the air. It was funny. I'll crash over there a couple nights a week at the lady's house, and but her bed just sucks. And after a couple attempts, I just crash on the couch.
This sounds like we're about to roll into an ad for one of those new Casper mattresses, but they haven't expressed any interest.
By the way, I never got the other thing we were promised.
Yeah. Who did we sponsor that was going to give us a free couch?
Well,
the couch place? I'll say it. Fuck them.
I forgot their name.
Well,
got that chair.
Yeah. Never got
Burrow?
Burrow.
Yeah, never got that chair.
I hope you didn't buy anything from Burrow. I'm sorry we misled you. Well, maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they heard how much we butchered the copy.
Maybe that's what it is.
Look at this. Four of them out there all getting along now.
Wow.
Four of them all on one feeder. For those unfamiliar, there used to be one bully. Look, he just can't. Did he come through? He can't fight them all. They're teaming up. This is beautiful.
Talking about hummingbirds, by the way.
Hummingbirds, yeah. Sorry. I realize the visual component doesn't trade over to it. This is exciting. This is good news out here. Look at this. Nature.
Dude, you got a lot of nature going on. Got a nice big balcony, second floor, and just a lot of greenery out there.
A lot of hummingbirds. We got the crummy, the squirrel that's not good at squirreling. We got the fat raccoons that don't know how to climb up and down trees. I was telling you before, it's the Hollywood. It's Hollywood animals. They're just auditioning for the role.
Man.
So you go sleep on the couch.
Yeah, I crash on the couch, and she's just like, "This is not normal." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know, but your bed sucks."
Dating a guy who lives in a van.
Yeah.
It's like she's like adopting a stray, you know. You gotta let him. You're an outside cat. You gotta let him. You wanna sleep like the end of Castaway, where he's gotta sleep on the floor. He can't sleep in the bed just yet. You can't adjust to that kind of life.
I bring over my own piss jug.
Just the sound of running water scares him off. He's gotta put out a bowl for him.
Oh God, I am feral.
Yeah, well, what a good
one. Oh, dude.
You're a wild one, buddy.
I got another public service announcement I want to share with our listeners.
What you got?
I mentioned this months ago, but I feel like it needs to be refreshed in our memory.
All right.
Watch out for the McDonald's combo scam. All right? They do this. Went to McDonald's the other day. I'm not proud of it. It was cheat day. Shut up. And
man, I'd break up.
Got the combo. What did I get? I always get sometimes I'll go with the double cheeseburger mini meal. Double cheeseburger, small fry, small Coke. Less than $4. One of the best values on the market right now.
It's a cheeseburger.
Double cheeseburger, small fry, small Coke. It's like $3.80.
It's a good deal.
It's a good, very good deal. But I was splurging. Went with the old quarter pounder combo. And they pulled this one again. And it was the inflection. This is so premeditated. And they know exactly what they're doing. I said, "Hey, I'll take number one combo with a Diet Coke." And she'll go, "You want that medium or large?"
Oh, they don't offer a small?
And I go, what does it come with? I said, the $5.79. What is the sticker price? What does that get me? She goes, "That's small." I was like, "Yeah, I'll take a small."
Oh, yeah.
But she said, not like, "Do you want to upgrade to a medium or a large?" But like the way she said it, and they do this on purpose, as if there's only two options.
Oh, yeah.
You want that medium or large?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no – well, that was – Supersize Me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the movie, is because if they offer that, that's what he would – say yes to.
Yeah. But they do it on purpose. The inflection is as if there's only two options.
A great lyric by the band The Wonder Years from a song called Came Out Swinging is just about being on tour and just how, like, I think it's like a steady fast food diet, like we're this generation's Morgan Spurlock, but we don't admit defeat. Like, no, this is just what we can afford to have. It's not an experiment. Again, it's a well-written, kicking tune.
Mm-hmm.
Came Out Swinging by Wonder Years. I feel the same way about how – I think it's obscene that all airports don't have the water bottle filling stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of the most – like, when you think about what – one of the most polluting things are plastic water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And I always carry mine with me just to have – there you go. Take a sip out of yours. But that's one of those things, like wasting food and then also just, like, how much – trash, like how much everything comes with trash, like mm-hmm. giving me a bag for one thing.
Yeah.
Give those somebody else start, like, just stop getting straws. Why do you need
yeah.
plastic straws for everything? What? I mean, I understand driving, okay, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, why do you need a straw in a restaurant? What do you need?
Yeah.
It's just so much trash that is if you really look at your day, like, oh, how much stuff did I throw out immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Someone made a joke about a CVS receipt being like the beginning of Star Wars. Like, like, oh, what did I get? Gum? Anyway, here's a football field's length.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Then, a couple days later, the next cheat day, no way was it a day or two later, I went to you ever been to Shakey's Bunch of Lunch?
That's not a strip club.
No. Shakey's Pizza?
Shakey's Bunch of Lunch.
From 11 to 2.
Shakey's Bunch of Lunch.
From 11A to 2P on a weekday, they have...
I can't say that name.
They have Bunch of Lunch.
Bunch of Lunch.
And get this. All right, it's as you might guess, it's a pizza buffet. But it's a pizza buffet that also offers fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and niblet corn.
Come on down to Shakey's... Troughs, mothers.
Yeah, little Shakey's Bunch of Lunch. $8.99, all you can eat.
$8.99 for what comes in that buffet?
All kinds of shitty pizza. It's not very good, but, you know, sometimes it's quantity.
It's available midday.
Yeah, it's quantity, not quality.
Because at a place that's primarily a children's restaurant,
yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of traffic.
So they got the pizza buffet, which is really only about three or four different pizzas.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's not bad. But then you can also get really mediocre fried chicken and instant mashed potatoes and canned niblet corn. So help yourself. But here's what they did.
I don't fight that canned niblet corn. I like it.
I like it too, especially put it on the mashed potatoes.
No, I know. Yeah. I know how it works.
But I did this. I said, it's $8.99, bunch lunch, whatever. And I just walked up. I go, she goes, just one? And I go, yeah, just one. And she immediately typed in one lunch buffet, and I saw it come up, $8.99, one adult drink, $2.99. And I said, is the drink included? Mm-hmm. And she goes, yeah. And I was like, I know I can get it. I was like, is the drink included in the price? Because I saw $8.99 and then I saw $2.99. She goes, oh no, the drink's extra. And I was like, I want water.
I didn't order a drink.
Yeah, I didn't order a drink. But and it was a whole big order. It's 15 minutes to find the manager, get my card. You need my card again. Got to do the whole reverse thing. I was just like, come on, man. That's like, and you can tell she's done it 1,000 times. Just bloop, bloop, bloop.
And it's never like, I can't even blame the employee that they're just programmed mm-hmm. to do that. You're like, this is like the exposés on local news. Like, we are intrepid reporters.
Yeah. I'm out there.
You're literally the man on the streets.
I'm in the trenches for the people.
I think that's the segment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. I'll get out there.
In other non-global, hyper-local news, reporter Dave Stone gets to the bottom of Shakey's Bunch of Lunch.
But yeah, it's just the principle, you know? And it was just like, come on. I've never seen that. I've never seen where they just sell you something you didn't ask for.
Yeah.
It's like – now, I know sometimes, like, they'll have it broken down differently. Like, sometimes there might be a buffet, hypothetically – Now, if the sign would have said $11, sometimes it'll say like $11, and then they'll ring up a $9 buffet and a $2 drink, and they're just like, well, for inventory reasons, we have to separate it, but the deal is $11 and you get a free drink.
Well,
that was not what it was.
I wonder how many people are like, yeah, I want a drink.
Uh-huh.
Because bunch of lunchers, you know, of course want to throw some Mountain Dew on top of that volcano that they're eating. Got that bunch of lunch crew.
Bunch of lunchers.
Shakey's. I'm going to take a meeting at Shakey's.
I've always wanted to go to a buffet like a Golden Corral.
Yeah.
Let's say me and you go to Golden Corral just for dessert. And we're sitting in the back like a big mafia table. We just got M&Ms and gummy bears and maybe
just the toppings. You just want to scoop out the toppings.
Like, oh, we'll pay full price. We've already had lunch. We're just here for the dessert.
Big baller style.
Yeah.
Who has figured out that produce is cheaper if you go to the frozen yogurt place and get the tubs? Was he talking about that?
You were talking about
life hack.
Who was that?
I forget who it was, but like it figured out if you get the
blueberries. Was it Rachel?
If you want blueberries. I think it was somebody she knew.
Okay.
That if you can get the blueberries, are cheaper if you just get the blueberries but as a cup of blueberries at a frozen yogurt place.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want more of those. Ask Ken at UCB will do like life hacks.
Uh-huh.
And like just weird little things about how you can just get a couple bucks off, how they're charging you extra for this. Like, I love that shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love those little scams, like where to like little parking tricks.
Yeah.
Or if you're in LA, mostly people know it, but you can park at the yellow loading zones after 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could park at a...
I don't know when the next morning do they enforce that.
Well, I'm just talking about people that don't live in their vehicles.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm talking about people that just need it for the evening, you know?
What time do you have to wake up and move your house, though?
The thing is, the piss jugs blend right in with that yellow curb, so ostensibly you can stay there forever. What are we talking about on the Boogie Monster?
Oh, yeah, it's the Boogie Monster.
Dave.
It's Kyle and Dave.
It's been a minute since I've seen you, buddy.
Yeah, man. Good to have you back for a day and a half.
I'm here for a hot minute. Glad life's going well with you.
Life's going well. Oh, let me give a quick shout out to my girlfriend who just passed her NASM personal trainer test that she's been studying for 6 months. No, they don't. But
God.
Yeah, how ironic is that? I'm now dating a certified personal trainer.
I love this real fucking... That's
just a real Milo and Otis over here.
You and MC Scat Cat. Just I'm not well. Not that she's MC. You know the song "Opposites Attract" mm-hmm. by Paula Abdul.
Yes,
and MC Scat Cat.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You remember that?
I do. That was right in the prime years of old Paula Abdul.
I think that was not long after "Straight Up Don't Tell Me." Solid jam.
Good jam.
Yeah.
Do you really want to love me forever?
Oh oh oh.
Or am I caught in a hit and run? But yeah, so now the lady's a certified personal trainer. And like I said, when we go out, it looks like a 10 walking down the street. That's an old Ralphie May joke that I'm sure he stole from somebody else. But hey, watch out.
Ralphie May, he's dead. What are we laughing at? I'm just stating a fact.
I know, it's funny.
I'm just stating a fact here, man.
Oh, and I feel like I should apologize. Last episode, I quoted a Bill Burr joke about the trans woman who is now an MMA fighter, and I hit his punchline, and it offended some trans folks on Twitter. So with all sincerity, I'm not being the smartest. The joke is funny, and the logic behind it is funny. I'm sorry I quoted his dickless dude comment that rustled some feathers, but yeah, I know. I know certain topics you just can't – I'm pro-trans. It was the fucking point that – the logic behind transition. If you got 30 years of man bones, then you transition, and now you're beating up women. That's not necessarily fair. But touch them. I know you got to be careful when you start talking trans stuff. So
and that's to revisit that. If your sport is just to beat the shit out of each other, if you're willing to do that, put them all in there.
Yeah.
Put whoever wants to fight. Let them go. Street rules.
All right, dude, let's get into this topic. This is an exciting one for me. This is the first time we've ever done a topic on a person as opposed to a paranormal or supernatural or conspiracy.
We talked about that fucking idiot that thought he was a time traveler.
That's true. Wait, Well, which there's a couple. Well, we did Phil Schneider.
Yeah, that fucking.
But then we did I don't know. We did a couple others. Al Bielek, maybe. I wanted to talk about, because this guy's in the news all the time, and it's been a fairly quick ascent to his fame and stardom and genius. Just in the last couple of years, has he been kind of a household name? I'm talking about Elon Musk. This friggin' dude is.
This fucking dude.
I mean,
46. He's 5 years older than me.
Man, you talk about feeling like a piece of shit.
5 years older than
this dude. Not only is he one of the richest and smartest people in the world, but just his resume, what he has accomplished in 46 years, just insane. And I mean, I won't get in. We'll wait to get in.
What happened in the 5 years? Since, like, not like I was in the running to invent my own rival to NASA. But, like, when do you – I still feel like if I start thinking about something, what have we done with our lives?
I don't know. I mean, I've never felt more like a loser than researching this dude. 12 years old.
I think he's a robot.
When he was 10, he taught himself computer coding. And at 12, he created a video game and sold it for $500 called Blastar. So at 12, he's already starting his entrepreneur career.
Did this guy invent the
PayPal?
Go on, sorry. Fuck.
But it literally, he's got his hand in everything. Obviously, Tesla. He was co-founder of PayPal, sold that for God knows how much money. I do know because I wrote it down. But sold PayPal for $1.5 billion, which he profited $165 million. But yeah, Tesla, PayPal, SpaceX. He's got another company called Solar City. He's working on this Hyperloop. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he also has a company just called The Boring Company, which I appreciate his subtle humor there. It's literally a boring company, a company that bores tunnels. But he called it The Boring.
So he has a sense of humor?
Yeah, I think he does. He called some New York Times shit all over the Tesla as far as their the range. Mm-hmm. They claim – Tesla claims that one good charge can get you 250 miles.
Yeah.
Well – New York Times did a piece on it, and they said, "Oh, that's bullshit. It only goes 55 miles or something." And he called that journalist a douchebag. So that shows you he's got a little bit.
But he called something else something fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's got a bit of. I mean, I'm not saying he's a laugh riot, but he doesn't take himself too seriously, even though he could.
I think he does.
You think he takes himself too seriously? Well,
Not too seriously, but definitely seriously. I mean, well, like, he's definitely not fucking off.
No, he's not. And that's what my point is. Anybody who's this productive, yeah, you can be up your own ass a little bit. I'm fine
with
that.
Yeah, I'd let him.
But yeah, man. Dude. All right, I'll just give you a quick timeline of his rise to power. Like I said, 10 years old, taught himself computer coding. At 12, created a video game that I think you can still get on the internet called Blastar. Just one word, Blastar, Blastar. Sold that for $500 when he was 12. 17 years old. He was born and grew up in South Africa. He left South Africa at 17, went to go live with relatives in Canada. A year later, enrolled in Queen's University, then later transferred to, I believe it was Penn. I think it was Penn. Got a couple degrees at Penn. Then in 95, got enrolled in Stanford, lasted 2 days before he said, F this, I'm going to start my own company. Started a company called Zip2, which is kind of like a precursor to Yelp, I think. Is that right? Yeah. Kind of a – not that he had anything to do with Yelp, but it was similar to what Yelp is, and then sold that for $307
million. 307?
Yeah. 4 years after he started Zip2, he sold it to Compaq Computers for $307 million, of which he profited $22 million.
What these other fuck? This whole fucking family. Where did he come from?
He's from South Africa, and
no, I mean, I know like physical reality, but like what puts that brain into that structure?
Hell if I know.
You know, like that's what I was like okay, a combination of the existing talents. And capabilities,
mm-hmm.
that everybody has in the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then the willingness to mine that, and with the proper, with lack of distraction, lack of hurdles to allow some, like, just, all right, you're, and just confidence.
That's what I was about to say, the confidence.
To fail that much. I mean, there's got to be some massive failures in there that he just was like, all right, keep moving. You know, a couple of them SpaceX rockets, they crashed.
Yeah.
Imagine a whole rock, like, just watching, I don't know, however much money, $1 billion, just go, fuck, whoops, that didn't work.
Yeah.
We got to try it again.
Well, just the confidence, Steve, to be like, yeah, I'm gonna start a space company. A space company. We'll build rockets to send them to Mars.
You know how you got NASA? I'm going to do my own NASA. Like, that's when you hear about someone. It's hard to consider like somebody starting a car company.
Yeah.
Yeah, starting a car company. Yeah. I'm going to start a new car company, yeah. Which he also did.
Yeah. I mean, just the confidence. I mean, I feel like me starting a chili wagon is a pie in the sky dream.
I was going to say, yeah.
But this guy's just building cars and rockets.
My store is just cupcakes. You're a fucking idiot. People want more than that. And I'm sorry that you're going to close in 6 months. And you're like, how do you know? I'm like, because you just sell cupcakes. This guy's like, rockets.
Yeah.
Rockets I'm going to invent.
It's insane, dude.
Which, to go back, wasn't old Robert Bigelow's, wasn't old Bobby Bigelow's inflatable space pods on one of those SpaceX crafts that went up there?
Was it?
I think he invented, because he invented, I mean, he's a crazy guy who, you know, obviously owns Skinwalker Ranch and has a lot of suspect shit going on. But he also invented these inflatable space pods.
Really?
That were going to be attached to the space station. And I think our old buddy Elon carted him up there for him. Elon, I'm going to look up Elon Musk and old Robert, don't type Bobby, Robert Bigelow. Let's see if there's a connection or if I talked out my ass. I don't know. They're all space people. Whatever. I don't know. I'm coming up with a lot of shit, but you're the man on the keyboards. I'm just the guy who bullshits.
Well, he's just doing so many different things.
I like what I personally, I think he's the proof that we might be a simulation. I think he thinks he's the proof. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can't believe how smart he is.
Yeah.
And that's why he's like, I got to be a computer simulation. You know? But he's the first, he's the best example of a computer simulation going right.
Yeah. I mean,
but then if he's a computer simulation that then becomes self-aware and finds out that he's a computer simulation,
then what?
But if it's a computer, it's going to protect its own interests. Because a computer's not going to be like, oh, destroy yourself once you find out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Computer's going to be like, no, make more cool computer shit, which is what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really impressive. I'll run down the rest of his resume.
Explore the rest. Get out in the universe.
1999, he sold Zip2 to Compaq Computers for $307 million. He profited $22 million of that. Later that year, he founded X.com, which is kind of a predecessor to Bitcoin.
The least offensive pornography there is. There's no double X porn. Just a lot of smooching.
X.com's main competitor was a company called Cofinity.com.
Underpants and smooching. That's my kind of stuff. That's what I want. Just double X. Just give me the double X.
Underpants and smooching.
Visible boners through the jeans. That's all I need. You don't need to get me riled up.
Oh, my God. X.com's competitor was
X.com. It's just a webcam of people having a nice dinner. Maybe a little Randy talking.
X.com and Cofinity.com, they merged in 2000. The two companies merged to create Cofinity. PayPal. So they created PayPal in 2001. In 2002, a year later, PayPal was bought by eBay for $1.5 billion. Elon profited $165 million from that transaction.
Good on the guy for just throwing all that money back into it.
Yeah, yeah. Later in 2002, he founded SpaceX. In 2006, he started a solar energy company called Solar City.
He's not good at naming stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff he's naming sounds like it belongs in a mini mall. Like SpaceX, Yeah, we make rockets. It's right next to the TCBY.
It's Solar City.
And Solar City's on the end if you need a little solar panel. That one's snug right in there next to a Jersey Mike's over in Whittier. Like, it's not. He's not good on the – he's definitely not dumping millions on the marketing.
I think the Boring Company is a great name.
I don't know if he knows that's funny.
He didn't get the joke?
It's called the Boring Company. What? People are laughing. Like, what? What, guys?
What's the problem?
What? Why?
Boring machines.
We're boring.
Yeah. We're boring every day.
We're boring. We know. He gets it. What am I missing here? Anyway, fuck you guys. I got billions of dollars.
In 2015, he co-founded OpenAI, a nonprofit research company focusing on artificial intelligence research. In 2016, he co-founded Neuralink, a neurotechnology company focused on developing brain-computer interfaces. I don't know what the hell that is.
That's him. He's a rope. He's a simulation creating the things to create the more simulation.
I mean, that's exactly what that sounds like, doesn't it?
That's what I'm – yeah, that's what I'm
– developing brain-computer interfaces. All right.
Biohacking. Did we talk about that ever?
No.
Like where people are starting to just – that's exactly what it is. Tinker with their own biology by introducing machinery into it.
Well, we talked about like I get it for like bionic limbs and stuff.
But kind of stuff like that. But like – but in – I mean how is LASIK surgery not part of that? Like how could you – like why wouldn't LASIK just eventually develop into I want microscopic vision?
Well, what exactly is LASIK? I know what it is as far, but like literally, well, are they taking away? Are they adding something? What are they doing?
Shit. I told you my story. Uh-huh. I tell you how I fucked it up.
No.
I went and got LASIK. I've had it for about 5 years, I think. Which anybody, I mean, it's a lot of money. But I can't think of any better investment in your life.
Yeah.
If you wore glasses, like my sister's the one who's like, God, she's like, I'm thinking about getting LASIK. And the only thing I need to hear to get me to LASIK, she's like, what if the shit goes down? You want to be scrambling for your contact lenses? I always thought, like, in the middle of the night, if I wake up and my glasses aren't around, I was blind. I couldn't drive a car. I was probably not legally blind, but I was fucked.
Really?
I couldn't operate a vehicle. I couldn't, like, just now thinking about how blind I was, and once you get LASIK, you're like, I can't believe I was that way for so long.
Huh.
Yeah, if I had lost my glasses and was driving, I wouldn't be able to drive.
Well, I knew you 5 years ago. You didn't wear glasses all the time.
No, I wore contacts all the time.
Okay.
But in the case that your contact lens case is tiny, in the middle of the night you wake up, you're not going to put contact lenses in. And I never wore soft contact lenses. I wore hard contact lenses. Which the doctor said, the optometrist, whichever one, was like, that's the reason my eyes didn't get worse is because the hard contacts held the cornea instead of like flattening it out,
uh-huh.
Which is how your eyes deteriorating. But I went to get the eye test for LASIK, and I hadn't been to the eye doctor in so long because my eyes were fine. They were stayed the same for years and years, and just like a fucking moron. I thought going to the wrong airport was dumb. I squinted at the eye test to read the lines. Instead of like, oh no, don't squint to try and read it. Read what you can read.
Yeah, just.
And instead I'm like, oh yeah, it's like trying to read a street sign. Let me squint towards the bottom lines. So I was able to make out letters,
uh-huh.
But only from squinting.
Okay.
So then that qualifies on the test. Like, oh, he can read this line. Where really, if I left my eyes normal, I couldn't read it. And so I had lasers shot in my eyes for thousands of dollars, and it corrected it to that.
Hmm.
To me looking around going, oh, everything's still kind of like – road signs were still kind of blurry and stuff. And it was one of the most annoying things in the world because now it's just like your eyes are a little bit bad. So I had to go back and get it redone.
Wow.
But still, one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Does the LASIK procedure, like, what am I trying to ask? Will it deteriorate? Will your vision ever deteriorate?
Yeah,
now?
I might need, like, reading glasses. If I go from, if I'm looking at my phone for, like, a lot, like, wake up in the morning, all of a sudden you realize you've been staring at your phone for an hour in bed,
uh-huh.
And then I'm walking around the house, it takes me a little while to be able to focus at things far away.
Huh.
So, like, computer screens, up close stuff, reading a book for too long. But still, versus Oh, where are my contact lenses? Oh, I got to worry about having those with me at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm swimming. How many times I'm like, I'll be fine. I'm so used to kind of lose a contact lens in the ocean, or try and wear your glasses and they fog up and you go inside somewhere, or they're rattling around on your head, or what if they fall off just doing anything? Man, go get it. Go to a reputable place.
Uh-huh.
But I'd say it's worth every cent.
I've never had glasses, never needed contacts.
Man.
I'm waiting for it to – I'm 40 now.
Full head of hair, don't need any glasses. Look at you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
This king shit of the mountain, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of good things going for me, Kyle. But, yeah, I just keep waiting for that to happen. Since one day I'm just going to wake up blind. But, yeah, no. To this point, I'm good.
But is that like the engineering – how is that not bioengineering to some extent?
Yeah.
You're not giving me supervision, but uh-huh. It's scary. You mm-hmm. lay there and you're just like, here's a Valium, and that part's fun. And then just, okay, remember to hold still – because you don't feel anything, but they're doing that.
I'm assuming you can't blink.
They're doing that Clockwork Orange shit.
Oh, really? They put a thing in there?
Pulled open.
Yeah.
But the Valium is you're just mellowed out. Like, all right, yeah, shoot lasers in there. And you sit there for a minute, and then it hurt like a motherfucker for about 6 hours.
Wow.
But then, yeah.
And you got to be completely still?
Yeah, I mean, you're laying down. But I guess that's not a thing, though, because they go in and correct. I guess it's not bioengineering.
Yeah.
Maybe just because lasers are so futuristic. Hmm. But you break your arm, they put a cast on your arm.
Yeah. I think about that every time I get a haircut. I take pride in how still I can be. Because a guy will be doing my hair. Sometimes he'll mess with my beard. And I'll just – I don't know. I just take pride in just being as still as I possibly can. Like, to where I think that he's thinking, man, this guy's awesome. This guy's the most still dude I've ever cut.
This guy's like a jungle cat.
Yeah. And I am. Like, I'll just go into, it's mental, you know, I just go into some sort of just Buddhist, just some sort of mindset of just, I don't know.
I mean, a lot of people can sit still where they're getting their hair cut. I mean, I don't know what.
But I'm real good at it.
All right. Did somebody tell you that? You're the stillest boy we've ever had at Great Clips.
I feel like I'm going to get an award or an accommodation or something one day.
I mean, I guess you'll just get a halfway decent haircut. I don't know what you're waiting for. I don't think they got plaques.
Very proud to be still. But yeah, so Elon Musk, this friggin' dude, he's also working on the Hyperloop. You heard about this Hyperloop thing?
It was...
It's basically like... It's an underground freeway system.
Okay, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And
he's trying to build tunnels everywhere.
Yeah, he's building tunnels everywhere, and he wants to go 30 layers deep, meaning he wants to have 30 freeways stacked on top of each other underground.
I remember seeing a picture, like that's the only way they're going to solve traffic is if they start, like you can't make the highways wider, you're going to have to double up.
Yeah, and he's got this system. There's a computer... generated demo that's floating around that you can see of it. But it's, all right, you're on a city street and you pull up to the curb and there's like a little elevator for your car. Mm. So you park it right. You know, you got to get in there just right like you would an automatic car wash or something. Then this elevator goes down and it's you stay in this little like skate or sled. You pull your car into this little sled thing.
Sure.
It acts as an elevator. It takes you down to one of the 30 levels. And then your car stays in this little sled. And it's on a rail. And it goes 130 miles an hour. And you're in the car, but you're not driving. So just like a car wash, you know,
yeah.
will take you, you know, 10 feet forward.
Well, my question is, like, we're developing all this technology still around wheeled vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Like, how soon is that going to go away? Just the idea that wheels on the ground. If we're already developing autopilot,
uh-huh.
why isn't this autopilot, I mean, like bullet trains, those are magnets. Those are hovering
yeah.
trains.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't that going to be the next technology? Like, oh, we're getting away from gasoline engines. Like, I guess it's you can only practically think as far as the technology that allows us now. But you're talking about developing a whole infrastructure system based on your car that still has rubber tires that you're driving around the street.
Yeah. Well,
and I guess, you know, maybe it's a lot like on Google Maps where you can only drag that little yellow guy on the major streets. Like, think about having to adapt everything to a magnet system, like every street. Like, no, major highways would, and then certain vehicles would be equipped for those major highways to be on that system. I don't know. But it seems to me almost like a little bit of a lack of foresight to still design systems around wheeled vehicles. Like the flying car thing might be coming sooner than later if we live that long.
Well, someone asked him about the flying car system. They were asking, a journalist was asking, why go down? Why underground? And he goes, well, first of all, how did he explain it? He says, our deepest minds, our deepest wells and mines are a lot deeper than our tallest buildings are tall. Yeah. So he's just saying it's easier. You can cover a lot more ground going down than you can going up. And he also said, with the topic of flying cars, his opinion is it's not going to help our collective anxiety to have cars flying above our heads. And he's like, well, I hope that guy serviced his hubcaps, and I hope, you know.
I like that he thinks about the idea of a collective anxiety. But okay, going back to a topic we discussed earlier about just having large population hubs for controlling purposes. So what – you can't just hollow out underneath everything in the world.
Why not?
Because, okay, what about – obviously you have to think about like where's waterways and this and that, groundwater – but okay, here's a new major population in the middle of nowhere because your Hyperloop is going to take you to the cities anywhere. 130 miles an hour, so now it exists in wherever in Central California that's going to get you to Los Angeles or San Francisco or Seattle. Now you're just going to have a major sprawling community out in the Nevada desert because people can commute to those places. Like now that's what we were talking about before. Rounding up populations in only large areas.
Yeah. Well, during all this research, I kept thinking, like, all right, where's the hook, the twist?
Yeah.
That a conspiracy theorist, kind of like myself, might think that, oh, he's doing all this for
sinister.
Yeah. There's an end game. There's an end goal for all. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's what's going on with him, but. If anybody could, a guy this smart could figure out how to help the Agenda 21 or the, you know, whatever the agenda is.
Or we got a new Jesus.
We got
a new Jesus who's still thinking in terms of how to make society better, not just technically, but also using phrases like collective anxiety. It's nice to hear somebody not saying just because we can, we should.
Yeah.
You know, it's like – well, no, what is the best for the human beings? That sounds like a higher level. What did I think he is?
Oh, a simulation?
Yeah. Looking out for the simulations that don't know they're simulations. That's how he's ascended to the high level of being a simulation.
Well, and what makes him so interesting is it's one thing to be an entrepreneur and a billionaire and a success, but everything, every business venture he's gone into, it's for the purpose of the greater good. He said in an interview that when he was in college, he just thought to himself, okay, how can I make the world a better place? So he broke it up into, I think, four categories, health, farming, space, and banking. I think those are, it might have been
he's
a fifth
like
one.
Tony Stark.
Exactly. I know who you're talking about. I've never seen the Iron Man movies, but he's been compared to – he's the real-life Tony Stark. Okay. So many people have made that.
Okay, it has been said. Yeah.
So like just – but yeah. So not, he's not just a guy who's figured out how to make a shit ton of money. His probably more of a priority than that is to hear him say it. He's just trying to solve some of the world's biggest problems.
He's always putting that money – back into it.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely using a lot of his own money in some of these ventures. But, I mean, think about, one of these, ventures would be a legacy, would be a lifetime achievement for somebody. But like, okay, we're too dependent on oil, so I'm going to make a legit, desirable electric car. All right, NASA's not doing its job anymore. All right, and we still need to learn what's going on. All right, I'll start a rocket company, and I'll send some. You know, he's already talking about colonizing Mars. He's the main guy who's like, yeah, we'll figure out how to do that.
Well, that I want to hear about farming then. I want to hear about – that was something I just read today. People like – I don't know if it was him or somebody in support. No, it was a Bill Gates talking in support of like Monsanto. Mm-hmm. How people are so worried about genetically engineered – genetically modified organisms, mm-hmm. GMOs, mm-hmm. because – the way Monsanto was doing it, it's like they were only I'm going to butcher this, but that's how this works. Uh-huh. But they were only subsidizing farms. They were only helping out farmers that would use their specifically modified. So they were monopolizing it. But the idea like that's going to solve world hunger is being able to take science and apply it and be like, yeah, here's how to make bigger, more bountiful crops.
Yeah.
If you want to solve world hunger. Here, now we have exponentially more food than we thought we could have mm-hmm. because of this.
Yeah, and that is – I mean that's a whole other topic, but that is something people forget about. I think initially we're kind of programmed to think GMOs are bad. You know, they're unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're causing cancers and stuff like that. And they may very well be. But at the same time, like you said, if we can get into the lab and create, you know, a 50-pound jackfruit that could – you know, yeah. And then we'll – solve the hunger crisis.
50-pound jackfruit sounds like a real insult.
Sounds like a band.
Look at this 50-pound jackfruit.
But yeah, so
go to the grocery store and look at like pick up the thing that's not organic, then pick up the organic version. The organic version, it's smaller and probably took a hell of a lot more effort to grow. And as much as I will take the organic stuff, also because it's also more expensive, I'm telling you. More bountiful food at a cheaper price for people that can afford it.
Yeah.
And I understand the skepticism of not wanting the chemicals and all that shit on it. But sometimes science can be good. That's been in the – I was making the joke before. I'm trying to put it back in there about everybody loves science when it gives them a new iPhone. Mm-hmm. But nobody likes it when it touches their food. And I was like, there's that nobody knew of a vegan until the iPhone came out, so somebody could look up where the nearest vegan restaurant was.
Hmm. Well, I mean, obviously there were vegans before that, but see what you're saying.
Now everybody, because they can have it, and then I just make jokes. I don't shit on vegans. Live your life. Anybody that's sanctimonious about anything, I can't stand.
Yeah.
I've no problem being a vegan.
In 2001, Musk conceptualized this thing called Mars Oasis. Is a project to land a miniature experimental greenhouse on Mars containing food crops and an attempt to regain public interest in space exploration.
Do you not just picture like a little glass greenhouse with some daisies and stuff in it just on the barren landscape of Mars? Just to have a little fun place.
Yeah, just a little shed-sized building.
One dude trying to grow weed in his backyard.
A couple tomato plants.
Grandma's old house.
But yeah, man, and we can go further into this. This might be a two-parter. I want to go a little deeper into this Hyperloop because I do like the connection that
I'll read more about it then for the next one. I think this is a two-parter because mm-hmm. how can you just dig underneath? Obviously, it's not everywhere. Mm-hmm. It would be, I'm assuming, connecting major cities, mm-hmm. and you know. You know, I'm just an idiot going, well, you can't just go through where it's too soft on the top. And people know how to make tunnels. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just using the pre-existing tunnels. Maybe he's already got access. Like, hey, you guys know how you got all those tunnels already? Let me make them. You know the ones you use to transport nuclear missiles? That was on a different podcast that I heard about Russia transporting all these. There's so many nuclear trains going throughout, and they just reinstated it now. During the Cold War, like these constantly moving trains with nuclear missiles on them, because in order to like, you can obviously use radar and track where silos are and where permanent missiles stay. So they just had them loaded up on trains. But I think I don't know if it was stuff they don't want you to know. I think was talking about it. So they look like passenger trains, just commuting through Russia at all times. But it was a constant mobile missile defense system.
Man.
But Mars are underground. So.
Russia is a whole fascinating topic. I watched History Channel had a documentary the other day about Vladimir Putin, and that fucking dude. He's, you know, he didn't come up. He didn't come to power as a politician. He came up through the KGB and was a spy. There's a good chance that dude's killed a lot of people.
There's a great chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything. I love the balls of anybody. Like, I'll run against him. Anyway, here's how I want my funeral to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude. But you made me think of something about using the existing tunnels that we've talked about in the past.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if he's going to get or has gotten any backlash from, like, the powers that be to be like, hey, man, underground tunnel systems, that's our thing. We don't need the general public down there snooping around.
Who's the supervillain to his Tony Stark?
Who is it? Who could that be?
I don't know, but who's... Is it going to be somebody in the name of government secrecy and all that? I mean, they seem to be playing pretty well right now. Oh, electric cars? Great. Okay, now you got enemies in the oil company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. New rockets that can go to space. Now, if Russia's still, you know, going back to that kind of, like, petty bullshit where, like, every idea of competition counts.
Yeah.
All right, now maybe you got somebody on that end who's going to fight you on that.
Well, he went to Russia.
Now you want science to do, like, food and everything?
Uh-huh.
Oh, now you got the vegan hippie anarcho collective.
Oh, dude, yeah. He's going to open up all kinds of gates.
But they should like you for the electric car, but
yeah.
If you're using that electric. How about this one? Now you want to put self-driving electric trucks on the road. Now you got truck drivers and you got fucking Teamsters coming at you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean it's interesting the domino effect that some of this stuff could have.
Yeah,
I mean
I can understand these towns that like voted for Trump just because this whole town existed on coal mining.
Mm-hmm.
Now coal's bad. Well, coal's bad for who and for when? For right now, we're all poor and starving in this town
mm-hmm.
because you shut down our coal mine because you're saying it's bad for the world. Well, our world is this town,
mm-hmm.
and now this town is dying because of what. Oh, because what? The sky's a little cloudier somewhere else? So I can understand the motivation because they're not thinking globally.
Yeah.
They're just thinking, they're looking at their neighborhood and boarded up businesses.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That. So,
well, we talked about that too, not to veer off on Trump and politics, but like different people have different needs and wants depending on where they're at in life and where they are at geographically. The voters in Los Angeles, they're voting on different agendas than the farmer in Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that. Like, I don't want to get off on this, but like, you know, I'm not going to shit on people for voting for Trump if you have a legitimate, like you said, a scenario like that. But it's the people that are just still so blindly loyal. And I was thinking about this the other day, too. It's so obvious and it's been talked about, but like, So many Trump supporters are just the patriotism and the blind loyalty and the rah 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 America. Your dude dodged the draft five times.
It's trolls.
And you're worried about people taking a knee at the national anthem.
And all it is, it's trolls that got the main troll in power. So there's no losing for them
mm-hmm.
because if they don't admit it, they never lost. So all you see are the people that are online making noise about it. That's
mm-hmm.
the whole thing about get off Twitter, get off Facebook, go be in the world and realize those people, they're not real loud when they're at the grocery store about it. I mean, I don't know, depending on where you live, there still might be somebody with their fucking MAGA hat. But I stop looking at social media.
Yeah.
Like that's where like I get the idea like everything's it's poison. It poisons my day. Some people can compartmentalize it. I don't. I get up and I'll look at news apps and on Twitter and who's going off about what and I'm like, "Well, fuck this whole place." And now I'm screaming at people in traffic cuz I'm annoyed with society. I'm like, "That's not the way to go about it. Enjoy the company that you have in your life."
Yeah.
Be kind to people. Let's bring it home.
But yeah, let's
love one another. You know. The Boogie Monster, a couple of big old hippies.
That's right. Yeah, let's get further into this. Let's make this a two-parter because I want to get further into the Hyperloop thing. We haven't even really scratched the surface with what SpaceX is trying to do. You know SpaceX headquarters right over here in Hawthorne? Right over, kind of near the airport? We should just go over there. Hey, is Elon here?
Elon? Mr. M?
You want to be on our podcast?
Is old Funky Musk hanging back here? He goes by Funky. I know him from
Funky Vancouver. Musk. Oh, okay.
If he doesn't come out with a cologne.
Funky Musk.
Called Musky Musks.
Oh, God, that's funny. Got a recipe. Haven't done many recipes lately. I made this the other night. Just kind of pulled it out of my ass. Cornbread. I love cornbread.
I do love cornbread. Jalapeno cornbread.
Oh, dude. That's what I was about to say. All right. That's a nice variation. Jalapeno cornbread. I've invented. I'm sure this has been done before. But I like jalapenos. Sometimes a little spicy.
I bet cranberry and cornbread would be pretty good, too.
Green chilies.
Yeah. You put green chilies.
Got a can.
Lunch and dinner, man.
Got a can of green chilies, and I made fried cornbread, not baked traditional cornbread.
Okay.
Here's the recipe, real quick. All right, half cup of butter melted, and this is from my kitchen survival guide, by the way, which is still available. We've got a few of those left. I made that joke, and my mom was like, she didn't understand the humor in the. It's an e-cookbook, and I was like, I got a few left. I got to order a new batch. Wow. And she's like, yeah.
Got to print up some more websites.
Yeah. Cast iron cornbread is the recipe in my cookbook, but I'm going to do a variation of this. Fried green chili cornbread. Half a cup of butter melted. Half a cup of let's get rid of that ingredient there. Yeah. So half a cup of butter, 2 eggs, a tablespoon of mayonnaise, 1 cup buttermilk, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1 cup all-purpose flour, 1 cup cornmeal, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3 tablespoons of vegetable oil, and 2 cans, I think they're like 3 ounce, 2.5 ounce cans of just canned green chilies. Mm-hmm. So here's what you do. You mix all that shit in a bowl. Simple as that. Take your cast iron skillet or whatever you got. Put about 1/4 inch of oil, vegetable oil or canola oil in that thing. Medium heat. Let it get hot for about 5 minutes. And then just treat it like pancakes. Just get you a nice dollop and just in there and just, kind of.
Like a little muffin pan?
Yeah. Just, no, I don't do the muffin pan, but I just do them like the fried cornbread. Just treat it just like a pancake. Put it in their cast iron skillet with a little oil and, about 3 minutes each side. Boom. You got you a nice green chili fried cornbread fritter. Ooh. And it's
Did you put syrup on there? Put butter, of course.
Oh, definitely put butter. You could probably do syrup. Yeah, make it
a little sweet
and savory.
Like when they do the honey butter.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of
So yeah, there's some green chili fried cornbread, and been slacking on this a little bit. Let's do another comic of the week.
Let's do a comic of the week.
Mm-hmm. Who's our buddy there? Goodrich.
Goodrich Givart.
Yes, got a new album out called Portrait of a Young Weirdo.
He opened for me in Fort Wayne. He's in Cincinnati now. He was out here for a minute. Now he's in Cincinnati.
Oh, is he in Cincinnati now?
Yeah. Oh. He moved back.
Well, I thought he's from Chicago.
He was doing comedy in Chicago.
Okay.
I think he's originally from Fort Wayne. That's why he was back in Fort Wayne doing the show. He was being a real funny rascal on stage. Yeah, real brat. Just kept talking about Buck Cherry, being real sassy, walking on people's tables in the front. It was fun.
I saw him in a little sketch that you were in.
The Hard Times.
The Hard Times sketch.
Yeah.
And he plays this character. What's his character?
Was it Tommy Crowbar?
Tommy Crowbar.
Yeah,
and his old character is talking about beating up old punks and stuff.
Yeah, he did the fest in Gainesville, and his character was, I punched every singer of Black Flag in the face. he's old punk rock dude. Super funny.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to the Hard Times dude getting a TV show going with yours truly in it. It's not, they're just pitching it around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Can you talk about it?
They just want to start based on the idea. It's like, read the Hard Times on Twitter. It's
very
funny. I always like, okay, it's like an Onion type thing. And I start reading them like, it's real funny.
Yeah, it's a punk rock Onion.
Yeah, it's like the Onion, but more making fun of Vice mm-hmm. than straight news.
Yeah.
And they're real good at it. And they want to make a TV show about it. They asked me to be involved. I was flattered.
That's awesome, man.
And Action Dynamite. I'm going to plug all my shit. Goody Givart's album is out now.
That's
Portrait of a Young Weirdo.
Givaart.
Yeah, it's all kind of. He's got one of them white foreign names.
Mm-hmm.
When you got 2 A's next to each other.
Yeah.
Oh, you one of them white foreign people. Putting all your A's next to each other. Just use an umlaut.
That's the little dot.
Yeah.
The Motley Crue Lowenbrow.
Yeah. That's the always. So that Lowenbrow, it's going to look cool, so we put it on there. You guys never got smarter from that, did you? Yeah, that Action Dinosaur on Kickstarter almost funded.
Nice.
Happy with that.
Well, cool.
Fun old cartoon.
Right on.
And that's it.
Anything to plug? Where you it's coming out the 6th? Where are you going to be this week?
Goddamn, I was in China a month ago. Where am I at? Comes out the 6th. I'm going to be at the Cedar Cultural Center in Minneapolis tonight. Second show. Tickets available. Turner Hall in Milwaukee. Few tickets still available, maybe by the time this comes out, maybe not. And then Comedy on State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, one of the best clubs in the country.
That is a good time. We did that together several years ago.
Yeah, we did that one. That's I got old Matt Knudsen with me this time.
That's a fun room.
Matt Knudsen, author of one of my favorite jokes in all of comedy.
Which one?
I don't want to blow up a bit about if you ordered from a...
From a buffet?
Yeah, what if you ordered from a server all the items you get from a buffet?
And he just does the act out?
Yeah, just go check out. He's got an album out there.
That's one of those where it's like, damn it, I wish I'd have thought of that.
It's like, yeah, it's one of those, ooh, like when you're just jealous of a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's opening for me.
Dude, that's fun.
He does it. A lot of those shows are sold out already, so get tickets. And then Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Sunday night at the Plus.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that Comedy on State. I don't do it anymore because I don't really feature much anymore. But I'm not, you know. Comedy Club on State, I'd be glad to come headline your amazing club. It is literally one of the best clubs in the country. So I get it. I get I'm not on the top 52. That's fine. I'll be...
top 52.
I'll be... there's only 52 headliners a year. Saturday, the 10th. L.A. folks, I'll be opening for Rory Scovel at New Spot. You been down to Dynasty Typewriter yet?
I was there the other. Week.
That's a good spot.
That's a cool theater.
It's old Jamie Flam's new spot, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll be there on the 10th, and then the next day, if you're in Burbank, I'll be headlining Flappers Comedy Club, the small room. I'll be in the Yoo-Hoo. I forgot what time, but
Yoo-Hoo,
yeah.
Dave Stone,
Yoo-Hoo. I'll be in the Ovaltine room.
I do like that. It's a fun little room.
It is a fun room. It's very small. You can fit like 30 people in there, and they're held hostage.
Yeah, it's real.
I like it.
Yeah, it's really keeping the keeping all the people tied up in the bank vault happy.
So, yeah, that's where we'll be. Patreon.com/BoogieMonster. $4 a month to get you Dave's Kitchen. A new episode of that coming out soon, and the Q&A bonus episode. So holla at your boys. And follow me on Twitter. Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter.
Follow him on Twitter and holler at your boys.
Holler at your boys. And we'll see you next week. Booga, booga, booga.
Holler at these boys.
Mm-hmm.
That was dumb.
That's all right.
Could have said, you were fun. And
just turn it off.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.